sticky start to that show, to the show today. Sorry about that, if anyone heard me clunking around pressing the wrong buttons. Apologies for that. Welcome to the Naked Football Show, everyone. Welcome to Joe Fares, freshly back from the Big Apple. Hello, Joe. Enjoy yourself?
Yeah, loved it.
I could actually spend all the show talking about Big Apple, about New York, but then poor old DJ will have nothing to talk about. Yeah, you can talk about food.
Quite happy listening about food.
Yeah, you can just listen and dribble, can't you? Studio at icrfm.co.uk if you want to email in during the show. nakedfooty@yahoo.co.uk during the week. You went to Peterborough, didn't you, Joe?
Yes.
I think I saw you on the Twitterati.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you think?
I thought it was all right. I thought you sort of see the scoreline, it's 0-0, we haven't scored another game. Yeah. If you actually watch the game, I thought we actually played quite well, tried to attack the game, sort of especially in the second half, and create some good chances, and we should have scored. Like Newball should have scored. He did well to create that one in the first half, should have scored there. Great save from a Goldrick's header. Tab missed that one on the line. Stonewall penalty at the end.
Yeah.
It wasn't a 0-0, sort of the normal variety. But
I was very impressed with Pot Noble, as we called him up there. I was very impressed with him, actually. I thought he did really well.
Yeah, well, after the first sort of 10 or 15 minutes, every time he got the ball, he lost it. And my friend turned to me and said, I really don't rate this Noble. Mm. And then ball goes into him, sort of turns, spins, smash it onto the post. Yeah. And then 2 minutes later, he then sort of beat them and then had that great save. And I think we really missed him when he went
off. Yeah, I don't know why I took
his
him
presence, because McLean didn't really get into the game.
No.
So.
No, I don't know. Did he take him off for any reason other than just change things? Or?
It must have been a change of style, because if he'd have been going just for like, he'd have brought on Murphy. You'd have thought so.
But their style was working, wasn't it? I mean, you know, we could have scored, could have been.
Yeah, it was much more adventurous than we've been the last few weeks, wasn't it? Yeah.
Did you go?
I did go to the game. Yeah, we set up different because we had to change quite a few of the players around, and actually worked to our advantage. And it did look like Mick wasn't going to sit back and go for the draw as we did at Huddersfield. I mean, Huddersfield was 0-0 as well and was drab and dire and probably the worst game I've been to for a long time.
Yeah.
Peter, it was actually an enjoyable game to watch. Mm-hmm. And we did have the chances and absolutely the penalty was absolutely ludicrous how the referees missed it. But having said that, to still get away from someone like Peter with the draw, because that's one of those games where normally we would attack, we'd have had all the good stuff and they would have nicked it.
Yeah, I don't think it was a brilliant point, because I think we should have had three, but it was key to not lose.
It's similar, because the Forest game on the Tuesday night, it was one of those where you'd go with maybe one or, you know, get away without a heavy defeat in mind.
We shouldn't have lost that either, really.
And then we played well enough to get a point, if not more. And Peterborough, it is a good point before the game. It should, you know, preventing Peterborough from gaining on us. And a point away from home is always good, regardless what position you are in.
Only if you win your home games, though.
If you win your home games. But, again, the way that we've played, we feel like we've dropped 2 points there.
Yeah.
Of course.
But that's good. I think we've got to take the positives out of it, though. It's difficult to say, we've only had 1 point out of Forest and Peterborough away. But we've actually played really well. If we carry on that,
yeah. Well, like, even from the second half against Leicester, confidence. I thought we played well. And
well, Leicester was the case in point, wasn't it? We set up strong, set up safe, and stopped Leicester from playing and stopped them from really having opportunities. And as the game went on, we gradually built towards being more attacking. And then when one opportunity did come along, it was taken, thankfully.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Peterborough, we've kind of been a bit more adventurous, had more opportunities, and weren't able to really take one of them but for a post and a cracking save.
Yeah.
Talking of which, I think we should presumably Henderson will go back at some point unless we sign him permanently. I was very impressed with their goalkeeper, wasn't he?
Well, he made a couple of good saves, didn't he? I thought Henderson did well.
He did, actually, but didn't really have a great deal to do, did he?
But I think what he did well. And the defence seemed to be quite confident with him behind him.
We can be a little bit harsh, but if you're not letting in goals, then you're doing your job, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I think if we're looking for the complete goalkeeper, you know, I'd rather he doesn't have anything to do at all. And I think he'd probably be the same himself. And when he has been called on recently, he's done enough to keep it out.
He's just seemed really solid with crosses and corners into the box. Yeah. He's gone up and he's claimed them. And
well, even the ones where you flap slightly or you just about get a palm or a fist to it, if it's not going in the back of the net and it's going away to safety, that's the minimum.
Yeah, you don't want to flap too much, though, because then your defence top. But he just seems to be getting up, grabbing everything, sort of calming the play down every time it sort of goes towards our end. And I'm sure Mick will be trying to sign him permanently, but I don't know what the situation will be there.
Having pretty much the same back five, you know. Hewitt came in and did a fantastic job, I thought. Yep. He looked really good, and I wouldn't have any problems. I mean, Stearman's been fantastic. and I'd be happy to sign Sturman permanently come the summer. And if he was, you know, within reach and we were able to sign him, great. But if not, I think Hewitt would be ready for next season too.
I thought Hewitt played really well as well, didn't he, on Saturday?
I still don't know, you know, with Sturman on the books and, you know, the fight we're in, it's probably better to have Sturman in there for the remainder of the season. But I've got no problems with Hewitt stepping in at any point.
Yeah, well, we're paying Sturman's probably higher wages.
Yeah, exactly.
And he hasn't done badly. Like, there was never a red card at Forest. He just seemed to step across.
That's crazy, wasn't
and
it? It just made the most
of
it.
He hasn't let us down, so I think dropping him would be extremely harsh.
Exactly, but we're looking forward, you know, Hewitt is potentially the player that we thought we were signing when we heard about this youngster that we were picking up from Macclesfield, who's going to be the next big thing.
The next Gareth Bale.
The next Gareth Bale, his age group for Wales, apparently. Yeah.
Who's this?
Elliot Hewitt playing for Wales.
Oh, right,
the
yeah,
same
yeah,
age so. That Gareth Bale was playing for Wales. Apparently they look the similar player.
Yeah.
And he does have similar kind of
he's
style
very,
to him.
He's very
he?
Athletic, hasn't he? He's got a great running gait where he just and, really goes with it.
And he looks like, you know, once he's settled in the centre side, he's given that licence to overlap.
When
it, when he's actually got a right winger to overlap.
When he does overlap, his crosses always seem to be quite good as well. He seems to think about it and actually pick someone out. So that was really impressed with him, and hopefully he'll be able to get more. I wouldn't wish an injury on Stearman or something, but if Stearman were to get injured or something like that, I wouldn't be too disappointed that it means we'd get to give our players some games.
Having 3-4 games at the end of the season with nothing to play for.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen this season, unfortunately, but that would be the ideal, and then the likes of Hewitt can be brought on.
What do you make of Jay Tab?
Yeah, I thought he was solid, unspectacular. I thought he did well and sort of ran about well and used the ball well when he had it. But I think for all the criticism of Lee Martin, he didn't have the pace to get away.
No.
Which, with him and Drury on either wing, we sort of do become a little bit more functional with that. Mm. I think you do need some pace when you've got those two sitters in the middle. And
similar to Welland's loan earlier in the season, wasn't he? You know, lots of industry, lots of hard work, but, you know, not really suited up to a wide role.
No.
But yeah, he did. He worked hard.
I think the home games are going to be the harder ones with those. You know, if he plays that same system with the two wide midfielders like that, then we might be in trouble.
We need to, you know.
Well, Tab's been playing centrally for Reading for the last, so I don't know whether he's seen as a central midfielder for next year, because it is basically an extended trial looked at. Yeah. So
it's nothing. You know, when it was first said about him coming in, you know, he was likened to David Norris. So if he's got the goals in him like Norris had, then that would be fine. Mm. But they would be playing more central.
He hasn't ever scored a lot. He's never scored for Reading and things like that. So
he's even shorter than David Norris, which is hard to believe, isn't
exactly.
he?
He had the blackest boots on I've ever seen, which I quite enjoyed. No logo, black studs, black bottoms. It was sort of, I think he may have borrowed him off Stanley Matthews.
Traditional, yeah. Fantastic stuff.
And Noble did do well. The under-21s game the other week against Colchester, it obviously different level, but he was virtually unplayable against them and bagged a hat-trick for his effort. And yeah, he looked similarly, once he'd grown into the game, he looked really good. He's got a lot more on the ball than you'd expect from him, because he just looks, you know, a big unit who can run a bit, but he's got pace, and so the swivel and turn for the shot. It looks like, you know, he's comfortable with the ball as well. And
yeah, but before that, though, every time the ball had gone to him, he'd lost it, and it just hadn't stuck at that point. And then almost like something clicked with his confidence, and then he became a footballer for a bit. So I don't know what it is, but we need to ensure that
he starts like that.
Not, because otherwise he's a sort of waste of space on the pitch if he doesn't have the best control or he's not. Because all his headers, he seems to go up too early and doesn't win a lot of headers, but there's definitely something there to be moulded.
Although, wasn't it his header that the keeper had to save as well?
That was McGoldrick.
Was that McGoldrick?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played quite well.
I think Eldin, I mean, even Drury coming in, as you say, unfortunately with him and Tab playing wide roles, which they're probably not best suited for, but Drury's got a decent ball on him, he's got a decent pass, and he also is quite tough, you know, story of coming from the lower leagues and used to being a little bit more, you know, aggressive and you know, that style of football, you know, he can handle himself. But it looked good for an away game on a, you know, against a team that's kind of similarly battling with us, but at home where we want to kind of take control of the game and dominate a bit and try and open up defences a bit more, we're certainly lacking natural width,
especially in midfield. Yeah, although I was impressed that Luke Hyam seemed to get forward a bit more, didn't he?
I think it might almost work the other way at home, where, because we're having to take the game to the other team, we sort of don't need the pace on the wings because we're not going to be hitting them on the breaks. They're going to be sitting deeper. That someone like Drury with good delivery may actually be better at home than he is away. But we'll see.
Yeah, well, that's been disappointing, hasn't it? We've been hitting on the break, and you've got someone like Martin. He'll pick the ball up, or Edwards pick the ball up, and they'll go past a couple of players. You know, run past them, and then not have anything at the end of it. You know, there's not been that final ball, and that's what's been disappointing with the likes of Martin, especially. We all know his work rate. And especially like on a break and that, he's fantastic, you know, really running with the ball, but then nothing to show for it at the end. He doesn't, that simple layoff to a striker.
Yeah, I think he's getting a bit of unfair stick at the moment, Martin, that he's become a massive scapegoat. But when you watch him, he's got the most assists this season. He wins quite a few penalties and free kicks in dangerous areas.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the Forest game, wasn't it? You know, getting kicked and pushed and, you know, really kind of getting teams up on. And then, you know, he does win a penalty which isn't given. You can see why it wasn't given, because the initial foul was outside the box and then it carried on in the box, which by the rules isn't a penalty. But he did all that, and then when he does actually get, you know, kind of trodden on and kicked and that, and he reacts stupidly, and he's admitted and he's going to pay his punishment for that, you know, suddenly he's the villain. And you're thinking, well, he's obviously done something, you know, we don't boo the likes of David Nugent for no reason. But players don't target people like Lee Martin for no reason. You know, they are the dangerous men.
It's football these days. It's so polarising that someone's either a hero or a villain, aren't they? There's no in between. He's doing okay. He's now the worst player in the world.
I was going to say, I did have this interesting theory, because obviously there's an element of boo boys, and there's always a player that has to be the whipping boy. And at the moment, Martin is it. Martin is the one that's getting the fans' ire. Those ones that, you know, seem to want to have somebody to pick on, to blame for when things go wrong. Now he's actually out of the team, it's, you know, if we suddenly don't do well the three games that he's out, is he now going to be the reason we've not done well, which is kind of contradicting their own argument?
Well, Mick McCarthy's no mug, is he? And he's played in when fit every single week he's been there, so there's obviously something.
We've said that, haven't we? You know, we think Jett's probably got the more talent and probably got more chance of unlocking a defence. But he hasn't got Martin's work rate, and that's why Martin's in the team ahead of him. Because that's what Mick sees. Mick sees somebody that's going to work hard for 90 minutes, and like likes of Murphy and that, will win the free kicks and, you know, will bother defences. Maybe not have the, you know, the end product that likes of Jett can have, but at least you know you're going to get 100% commitment for 90 minutes out of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't want just a team of runners and cloggers, but Jets obviously needs to show more, doesn't he? Like, I know he's only on for the last 10 minutes at Peterborough, but he just didn't seem to have the confidence to beat anyone. He sort of was wide and just was waiting for people to come up to him.
Whereas being brought on against Leicester was perfect. Against Leicester, where we were trying to kill the game off, we were trying to finish it on, didn't hold on to the ball, sticking Jet on and say, go to the corner and don't lose the ball. Perfect. So, but again, this is the issue with, you know, we're trying to play a solid 4-4-2, generally speaking. We've got the two in the middle who do protect the back four. The back four, whoever they've been, have been really, really good since Mick's come in, and that's been the basis of how we've pulled ourselves away from the bottom. The problem with the 4-4-2 is we don't quite have the personnel to fit it.
That said, I think the defence is obviously doing well at the moment, but it's not about four players. It's a team, and that any defence with Ndor and Hyam sitting in front of them is going to be more successful than what we did last year. Exactly. Where at one point we had Bullard sitting as a defensive midfielder and things like that, and there was a stage where it's like, oh, we need to sign a new defender. And it's like, well, we had Danny Collins on and we lost seven games in a row. He's not a poor defender.
Well, this is the same argument, isn't it?
It's how the team is set up. And we're obviously set up defensively now. The balance isn't quite right. No. We've gone too defensive. We need to get somewhere in the middle. But I've sort of got faith in Mick that he'll do it. I used to enjoy watching his Wolves teams. They were always direct, pacey, sort of a good old proper English side. And if we can stay up and play like that next season, I'll be more than happy. Staying up is the key.
Well, this is it. You know, the way you set the team up is to stay in this division, and in next season, you know, hopefully we'll see, and, you know, I'm very confident we will see a different mentality in the side and a slightly different setup with the couple of players that he'll bring in that will fit the system. Because Martin is a great player. I like him. I champion his cause because he does work hard for the team, and, you know, but he's not a wide player. He wants to sit and play in the hole. Jett is an undoubted talent. There's something there, definitely. But again, he doesn't, you know, he's a disciplined roll out wide, doesn't suit him. But we can't play a defensive, solid unit, you know, with the man roaming free in the middle, just one up front or what have you. No. And this has been the other thing as well. You know, oh, we need a striker to stick the ball in the net. Well, no, we don't. We've got
enough decent strikers, actually, for a change.
Had pretty much decent strikers, you know, through.
Talking of which, Jason Scotland scored again last night. Can you believe it? That's the thing, you see. I mean, you talk about if we stay up, it's starting to look a tiny bit precarious, and we've not got easy games coming up.
No, it isn't. And I've seen a few posts today on Those Were the Days and about people saying how tight the league is. I've not seen it like this. You know, you've got Burnley, who I think are 11th, and only 9 points ahead of relegation, who, if they went on a bad run, would be pulled into it, and that's just one team. Yeah. But obviously, the whole bottom half...
Isn't it something like 7 out of the last 8 seasons, 39 points... You'd go down with 39 points, and all the teams are on. There's 3 teams on 39 points already.
Yeah.
Where teams would have that at the end of the season, and it's just crazy how.
Mm.
But the thing is, everyone's like, "Oh, well, if those bottom teams keep winning, we're going to get dragged down." It's like, no, if we just keep doing what we're doing, we'll be fine, because the teams above us, like Millwall, dropping like Blackburn, haven't won in I don't know how long. There's teams that are dropping down a lot slower than we're going,
but they're
a lot faster than we're going up there.
Millwall and Blackburn are on cup runs, aren't they? That's what's scuppered their season temporarily. I think
Millwall, just when they lost Chris Wood, they just haven't replaced him, and they haven't got goals, and they've now had a couple of, as it, Benicophobe and James Henry and out to the end of the season. I just can't. They were fourth on Boxing Day, and they're now 17th, and I just can't see that momentum turning.
And this is the same thing for Wolves, isn't it? You've got these teams that are sliding. And it's they've got a downward trajectory, and ours is a very slow one, but it's a gradual, if not level, we are still moving forward ever so slightly.
I know it's right. Sorry,
the way that the other teams are around us, as they're picking up points and not, you know, it's changing all around, and people aren't actually seeing where we're steadily just kind of creeping along, because all they're seeing is that somebody else below us got 3 points of us.
Yeah,
you know, it's not all 3 teams getting 3 points every week, because that would be a concern.
I think people think, the relegation battle is between the bottom 5 or bottom 6, but it's not. It's the bottom. It's bottom half. About the bottom 11 at the moment. Who are only two. If we win on Saturday, we could go something silly like 14th, and it's just we just have to keep playing our own game. And
that would be artificial, wouldn't it? That's just a figure, isn't it? It's just a position in the league in your head where you think, oh, we're suddenly up.
Mm.
You know, you've just got to look at what we're picking up every couple of games. You know, kind of spread it over 3-4 games. The points that we're, as long as we're averaging the right amount of points, we'll be fine at the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, and since Mix comes in, we've picked up points consistently. And not at a flying. We haven't won 7 in a row or done this, but we haven't lost a lot in a row. We've just consistently picked up points, and I see no reason why we won't till the end of the season, which will be enough.
Well, because we've done that before. We've had kind of dodgy seasons, pretty much the last 4 or 5 years we have, and we've hit that form patch January, February. We've suddenly gone, oh, hang on. Playoffs are close in the relegation, and then we've tailed off again, and always managed to have enough in reserve to not really be worried on the last couple of games of the season.
Yeah.
But I'd rather we just go along nice and steady, pick up the points as we go.
I'd rather us win about 6 in a row and do that. But
but that's not going to happen. But you know, rather than say win 3 in a row and then suddenly lose 4 in a row, you know, it's probably the same amount of points. But I'd rather just pick up, you know, the 1 or 2 points a game average that we are.
Yeah, well, I just don't see any reason why we aren't going to carry on as we have been since Mick's come in, and just carry on accumulating enough points, which will keep us up relatively comfortably.
And then, you know, without looking too far ahead, I'm confident for next season with what Mick's put in place, he's building.
Get this one out of the way first.
Yeah, definitely. But
I was just saying, changing the subject, it was because I was getting onto my high horse. I noticed Roy Keane covered the second of the cup ties on Sunday, whereas the first cup tie was Millwall-Blackburn. I'd have loved to have seen what he said when someone said, "Oh, you used to have Liam Trotter and Jordan Rose at Ipswich, didn't you? Why did you get rid of them, Roy?"
Jordan Rose looks like he's going back to League One, though, doesn't he? So,
well, that's what I mean with Blackburn.
Blackburn carrying on. Hasn't scored in 7? Cool.
Has he not? I thought he scored last week. Didn't he, week before?
He's got 1 in 7.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Still second top scorer, though, isn't he? So
Third,
isn't he? Bitten hairs.
the top scorer is only behind Messi in Europe, so
God, I missed that. I was in London. I was in London last night. I wish I'd seen it. Apparently they were brilliant, weren't they, Barca? Yes. He says, yes. I know we've gone off subject completely,
just a different planet of football that they're on. Just the way that they
did you see it, Joe?
You know, no.
With no height in the team, with no wingers that whip crosses in, just playing. And that, you know, this is gonna sound stupid, that they've got the one thing that we don't have, other than obviously the talent, for our level anyway, so making it kind of, is that little ball, that last little ball that just puts your striker in, that just splits the defence. And it is simple, but it's obviously Well, you know, they're on a different planet, the way that they play here, football.
Mm. I just caught the like the very, very short highlights they show on whatever it is afterwards. It's just looks phenomenal. Just such, it's done all at such pace as well, on the deck.
And the fact is, that team, I think there was a game the other day or whatever, where, you know, obviously with bench players, and they've brought back in PK and they've brought back in Fabregas.
Yeah.
But they finished the match with all academy players.
Really?
All homegrown players. As I say, a couple have gone off and have been brought back in again. But, you know, to actually finish off, you know, a league game or whatever, the whole pitch was filled with our own homegrown
players. It's nice for us sort of getting back onto Ipswich. That obviously,
I was going to say, we can use the word academy to steer it back onto Ipswich.
Tommy Smith and Luke Hyams, who are academy graduates, are playing a big part in the season. And we've offered the 5 pro contracts to Leddy, Timlin, October, winter.
Well, we can actually do that. I mean, we've been handcuffed before that we couldn't, because at 18 now have to be involved in the first team picture. There is no football for them, and they'll just waste away playing, you know, a reserve or part of the under, now we've got the under 21s, they can do it, whereas before they were picking up a game a month. Now, you know, now we've got the under 21s, they're playing at least once, you know, a fortnight, if not twice a fortnight. And with that, that gives a license to say, right, we'll see how you progress. If you think you're good at 18, we'll see how you get to 19. And
I sort of understand what you're saying, that we haven't been able to do that, but all other clubs have been able to do that without reserve leagues. Yeah. And it just seemed that the attitude under Paul Jewell was, if at 18 you're not ready for the first team, you are released. Yeah. Where that's such a short-sighted attitude, where players are making their debuts a lot later now.
Definitely.
And it just seemed such a sort of stupid decision. Like, look at Tom Eastman, for example. Yeah. We offered him a 6-month contract, and Coulter offered him a 2-year contract. And like, I know when he played, he hadn't been brilliant, but he'd been playing at right back. And he's clearly a centre back. It's like, well, actually, give these kids a chance.
Talking to a Coulter friend, said, he's done a decent enough job there. He's done well. And you think, you know, would that, with time and playing at a higher level, and, you know, supposedly with, you know, a better setup, you might, you know, how far would he have progressed?
And we need to get him out on loan. And look, it seems that we've got a relationship sort of building with Chelmsford now, where we've sent Joe White and Jack Ainsley in. We need to have some of these teams around. And even when you look at the sort of level 7 teams, the Berries and the Laystons and the Sudbury's and the Lowestoffs, so why don't we look to send players to those games?
They're decent players. As we were saying, you know, this lower league football for the youngsters, that soon toughens them up and teaches them a different aspect. I mean, they've obviously been taught the technical aspects of playing football on great pitches and a great setup, you know, up at the academy. But to actually get out to get some real football and actually kind of get kicked week in, week out by grown men, you know, it toughens them up.
And like I said, we lost to Lowestoft the other week, and it's no real surprise, surely, that we lose to them, because they're a good side. And they've got 4 or 5 ex-academy players. So you look at the academy players we've got, that means that the highest level they're ever going to play at is that level. If you get them out there and actually have them sort of crowds on their back from close up, getting booted up in the air when they get the ball, I know it's not
ideal, but the
academy is just so sanitised sometimes. I went and watched the under-21s on Monday, and it's just such a... It's almost like a computer game. Pass this, pass that. There's no like tackles going in. I don't remember the last time I see a booking in the game.
Well,
this
is the issue as well, isn't it? All the way through the academy football, it's about how they play. It's not about the result. And then they suddenly hit 18. They're not kids anymore. You've got to suddenly go into a big bad world, and you're in the first team, and it's all about results. And it's and without getting them out on loan or, you know, playing at more competitive football before they, you know, even get a chance at hitting the first team, they're just not going to be ready for it. And you can see the type of players that have come through. In Luke Hyam, he's not the technically gifted player, but he's tough.
He
plays in the middle of the park. And Tommy Smith, again, you know, he's obviously has had education of going out on loan and going, and that's really helped him out.
I'm personally not convinced that the under 21 league is the greatest step between the under 18 and the first team currently, because they need to turn them into proper games. They need to play them in a stadium. Like, you go up Playford Road and it's just like a training kickabout up there sometimes, the under 21's game, and you need to actually get some proper competitive spirit in that. And you need to get them on the main pitch, basically, like the old reserves used to be, because when we were bringing through the Bents and the Ambrose, that was when we had that sort of reserve league, and you're playing there. And the odd game, if you don't want one on the pitch, we used to go and play up at Bury Town, didn't we? And
that's it.
I think we need to sort of treat the under 21 as more than just an inconvenience sometimes, a chance for people to get 90 minutes. It needs to be seen as a squad that wants to develop together. It's a development squad, isn't it?
And that's the thing. I think that's the one part of it which is, you know, it gives us license to hold on to these youngsters a bit longer rather than having to make a snap judgment when they come out of academy age, when they get to the age where they have to sign a pro deal or not, it gives us a chance to, you know, keep them on. So that it is a move forward, but I'm with you as well. You know, if you can get these players out on loan to a decent enough level of football where they're playing with grown men in a competitive, you know, league where actual results matter, that's going to
stand you in better stead. They'll still be training it us a week. I'm sure Joe White and Jack Angeley will still be training with us a week, and then they'll go and play for Chelmsford or train with them on the 1 or 2 days a week that they do train, and then go and have a proper game at the weekend.
And the actual the non-league games come on a lot. Mm. It really has. It's not the, you know, just mud bowl pitches of, you know, hoof it long type football that it used to be. You know, there are teams down the lower levels that are playing the right way, and they've got their own academies, they've got their own setups there, and they've, you know, they're trying to progress and they're trying to get towards league football that way. So
like I said, the under 21's good in that it's given us regular games, but it still needs to try and replicate sort of a step between the youths and the first team a bit more for me personally.
And well, this is it, you know, we've mentioned Jordan already, but the likes of Jordan or Liam Trotter or the rest of it, rather than just kind of cashing in because somebody else wanted to give us some money for them, and you're thinking, well, that may be in a manager's mind anyway, right or wrong, you know, they're not going to play every week. Get them out on loan then.
Yeah.
See, the thing is with your Roy Keane's, etc., if he thinks, well, I shouldn't even give him the time of day, let alone half defend him, but say the Jordan Rhodes things, he thinks, well, he hasn't made it quite yet at our level. We would have all sent him out on loan because he's still scoring goals on loan. But he probably thinks, well, I can get, what, do you get 400,000 or something pathetic for him? And then get a great striker like Tamás Priskin in, which failed, obviously, dismally, but it could have worked. And then, because he's only here on a short term, he knows this, he thinks, well, if I keep these youngsters in and build and build and build, I might be relegated.
He was given 2 years to get us promoted, and at that time, Priskin probably was a better bet than Rhodes. From the season before. Obviously, hindsight means that was totally the incorrect decision. But someone like Liam Trott was a bit different because he'd been on loan at Scunthorpe, got promoted through the playoffs, and then got another year's contract, came back here, tried to win his place, then went out alone to Millwall, got promoted again from League One, and then it's like, well, no, I've seen the lights. I want to. Mill will want me and they want me to be a part of the Championship team. We couldn't compete with that. But
you also have to wonder, you know, in a sink or swim with the change of management and the fight that we've had at the wrong end of the table, how long these youngsters would have lasted anyway. But, you know, with the patience of the manager.
Well, that's the trouble.
These youngsters have been given the time at whatever club they've moved on to progress, haven't they?
But if like, say, Roy Keane again has just been told he's got 2 years, then he thinks, right, I've got to get this club up within 2 years. I haven't got time to faff about with these youngsters.
But it's bonkers.
We've got to go. Quickly, prediction for Saturday. Bolton, they're on a bit of a roll, aren't they?
No, they've won 5 in a row, but that'll end on Saturday.
We'll win. Confident. Yeah. Two wins?
Yes, definitely.
I'll go for the draw again. It's not going to always be right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Joe. Thanks to DJ. Till next week, have a good one. Thank you. Bye.